You're now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
NASCAR just got done with Nashville Super Speedway, the 1.33 concrete intermediate racetrack that everyone was excited to see return to the schedule for both the Xfinity Series and Truck Series. Now it is with the Cup Series, and let me tell you, we had ourselves some pretty good races this weekend. I was only able to see one, so we're going to just talk about the final results for the Cup Series race, as well as the biggest takeaways from each and every race, as well as some new stories coming up for the Chicago Street Course. That and plenty more on today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. Yes, unfortunately, I was pretty busy this week and I was not able to watch the truck race or the Xfinity Series race. I did hear how chaotic it was for the Xfinity Series race. I tried to listen to it while I was on the road. I was on the road for 13 hours, and when the race finally started, that's when I pulled up to my destination. And immediately, caution after caution after caution after caution. It was crazy for that Xfinity Series race. So it's kind of like one of those races I wish I saw in the Truck Series race. Big congrats to Carson Hocifar, now getting his second victory in the Craftsman Truck Series. I think a lot of people were nervous about him, if he was ever going to be able to get a victory, or even if he really deserved the hype that a lot of people were giving him early in his career. But this was a really good race for him. Unfortunately, for his first win, there was a big accident there near the end that may have overshadowed his victory. This one, no doubt in anyone's mind, he was clearly the winner. He clearly had himself a strong truck. It will lead 40 laps. Rest of the top five being Zane Smith in 38, Nick Sanchez, the top finishing rookie, finishing third. Corey Hyman, the number 11, finishing fourth. And then the number 41, Bailey Curry, finishing fifth. He was the top performing underdog driver here in this race. This is an absolute great run for him. And just on this run alone, I think he deserves more opportunities with Nice Motorsports. I won't say a full-time ride yet, but a top five finish in a truck that's really been struggling to stay in the top 20 is definitely a great showing by that team. And then in the Nashville Xfinity Series race, how about AJ Allmendinger winning another oval racetrack? He has just been solid down here in the Xfinity Series. I hope it eventually bleeds into some success in the Cup Series, because we know how talented he was down here. And even coming down here, another victory for him. He was able to win at Circuit of the Americas. Now he gets the victory here at Nashville after leading 25 laps. Basically, he survived the storm. At the beginning of the race, there was wrecking, and even at the finish line, there was a bunch of wrecking. Here was the rest of the top five, as we had Riley Herbst in the number 98 finished second. Finishing third was the number one of Sam Mayer. Finishing fourth, we had the number 21 of Austin Hill. And finishing fifth was the number eight of Josh Berry. And probably the best, most surprising underdog finisher, I have to give it to Zane Smith in the number 28 machine, able to finish seventh. That 28 machine has been phenomenal the last couple of weeks. First, it gets a victory with Eric Almirola. Now you get Zane Smith in there with a seventh place finish. I mean, RSS Racing has to be super happy about that. But Colic Racing is definitely the most happy. The team that struggled the most here in this race has to be Joe Gibbs Racing, with two of their cars not being able to make it to the finish due to early accidents. Ty Gibbs being one, where he got sideways and collected Carson Hocifar, who's having himself a really good run. But Ty Gibbs won the first stage. He was the guy to beat. So for him to finish 37th, that was just an absolute heartbreaker. And then Sammy Smith, he was caught up in another accident shortly thereafter, and he was running around the top five, and he finishes 34th. So not a good showing for Joe Gibbs Racing. I know they will bounce back, and they definitely have fast equipment. It's just they got caught up in early wrecks that really took them out. Stephen Parsons in the Xfinity Series race struggled the most, as he was not even able to finish one lap, and because he was caught up in that first accident going into 1 and 2. So the 07 of SS Greenlight Racing just been having some terrible, terrible luck lately. And this is a perfect example. I mean, you can't even complete a lap without being caught up in an incident. That's just rough. There's no other way to put it but just rough. But The most important race we're going to talk about is the Cup Series race. We're going to focus on our fantasy picks on how they did, as well as some big takeaways from certain drivers after this race, because I think there's some things to really take into perspective after this event, because there were some drivers who absolutely did great and there were some drivers that struggled that really did surprise us. So without further ado, let's dive into it. Here is our final results and biggest takeaways for the Ally 400. Alrighty, so in this race, we had a total of 36 cars on the entry list, meaning that it was only the charter cars that ran in this event. We had 4 cautions for 24 laps. Not much craziness happened in this race at all. I mean, you had the 2 stage cautions, you had 1 car lose a tire after pit stops, and then you had a restart crash that happened because someone did not get going. So it was definitely mostly a green flag running race. We had 21 lead changes amongst 12 different drivers. We had multiple people who had an opportunity to win this race, including the likes of the number 45 of Tyler Reddick, the number 11 of Denny Hamlin, and the number 19 of Martin Truex Jr., all of them being Toyotas. But in the end, it was the driver who led the most laps. It was the driver who had the pole, and he finally gets his first win of the 2023 season. I am talking about the Melon Man himself. Ross Chastain gets a huge win here at Nashville Super Speedway for Trackhouse Racing. This is now the 3rd in his career. Just an absolutely dominating performance after finishing 2nd in Stage 1, 3rd in Stage 2. He is your winner here for the 17th race of the 2023 Cup Series season. Finishing 2nd, we have the number 19 of Martin Truex Jr., as I mentioned before, as well as the number 11 of Denny Hamlin. In the 4th spot was the number 9 of Chase Elliott, a lot better run for him compared to the last few races. Finishing 5th, we have the number 5 of Kyle Larson. Finishing 6th was the number 24 of William Byron. Finishing 7th, we have the number 20 of Christopher Bell. 8th place was the number 43 of Eric Jones. 9th, the number 8 of Kyle Busch. And rounding up the top 10, we have Saturday's winner, the number 16 of AJ Allmendinger. Some of these names that pop up here on this list that were quite surprising, one being the number 43 of Eric Jones. They've had a horrendous year over there at Legacy Motor Club. So for them to get a top 10 and actually score stage points, That's awesome. They 100% needed that, and it wasn't really a race where they got lucky with the cautions. There was hardly any, so this was definitely based off of performance and just how they ran, and for them to be able to finish 8th, it's a step in the right direction. I wouldn't say all problems are solved, because they still have some major problems with that number 42 car. Jimmy Johnson has had no luck at all on his return to the Cup Series, so there's still a long way to go. But at least it's not going to be all doom and gloom for the 2023 season. So for them to get a top 10, that is absolutely spectacular. But let's go back to the winner of this race, Ross Chastain. You know, a lot of people were really concerned about him. Hell, in fantasy picks, I only put him as a mid-tier pick because it felt like something was missing. It felt like we weren't seeing the Ross Chastain that we were expecting. And maybe it was because he was getting involved in too many incidents, which is fair to say. I mean, he was involved in a wreck almost every single week, or he was blamed for something. And finally, Justin Marks had talked to him, and it definitely simmered down over there, but so did his performance. And so I don't know what happened here during this off week. Maybe Justin Marks said, okay, you know what? I don't care. Just do what you need to do to get into victory lane. And he had himself an absolutely great weekend. Believe it or not, this is his first ever pole he has had in his NASCAR Cup Series career. So you already knew it was going to be a good weekend from the get-go. But to get this victory and run as well as he did, just a dominating performance, I feel very comfortable with Ross Chastain now going into the summer stretch. Still don't know how I feel when it comes to these next upcoming races, just because they could be super, super random as far as the results and performances may go. But besides those tracks, Ross Chastain seems to be going back up as a top pick for many people in fantasy. Martin Truex Jr. shows his consistency once again. He is now the points leader here in the Cup Series. And after that win at Sonoma, now everyone feels really comfortable with Martin Truex Jr. I don't know how he's going to do in the next couple races as well. I know I just said this about Ross Chastain. The same thing could apply to Martin Truex Jr. But at the very least, he has a lot of momentum. And for him to score 51 points here, you know, a lot of people were thinking, this could be the end of Martin Truex Jr. He might be done. Well, him and Jamie Small have found something together. They have been able to get now 3 victories here this year. Well, if you count the LA Clash. And now they're running consistently inside the top five. I mean, he finished fourth and second in the stages, scoring 51 points for fantasy. I mean, that's a great performance for that number 19 team. And it keeps people more comfortable with keeping him as a top pick. As well as Denny Hamlin, the number 11. He was right there in the mix. He was able to win one of the stages. He led 81 laps. I mean, yeah, Denny Hamlin struggled at Sonoma because he got caught up in a mistake. Going down the front straightaway at Sonoma, but he had himself a really fast car, so there's no stopping that number 11 as well. So Joe Gibbs Racing has two really strong drivers in that number 19 and in that number 11. The number 20, he's been very consistent as well, been fitting around the top 10. The only one that's a little bit of a concern, if you even want to call it a concern for that team, is Ty Gibbs, but he's a rookie. And if he's finishing in the top 15 like he did in this race as well, I'm not even concerned about that. We know how much these rookies struggle entering into the Cup Series, so really, do not be concerned with him. As far as fantasy picks go, maybe you're still a little hesitant putting him in, which is totally fine. I understand that 100%, but that's what you need to feel like when it comes to a rookie. A rookie does not just randomly come into the Cup Series and absolutely starts kicking ass. It has only happened like twice in the history of NASCAR, that one being Tony Stewart, Jimmy Johnson and Denny Hamlin. But really, you're just picking some of the best of the best out there. Rookies don't really stand out that much, but you know, Ty Gibbs has been showing some consistency as the time goes by, so a 15th place finish at an intermediate track is a good run for him. But Joe Gibbs Racing has nothing to be ashamed of here from this weekend. Chase Elliott finally makes some improvements. I know at Sonoma he had himself a solid finish, but it was mostly due to pit strategy. We come to this race consistently running around in the top 7, able to finish in the top 5. That's a step in the right direction. They need the victory still. There's no way that they're going to make it in by points at this rate, because the battle for the top 16 in points is starting to get really intense, and I think he's still about 2 races behind. And with only 10 races left in the regular season, yeah, that's going to be really tough for Chase Elliott. But, you know, at least we're seeing improvement. That's what we got to see out of him, is improvement. And we finally got it here in this race, running around like he usually does when he was in his prime in 2022, running for the regular season championship. So I'm not too concerned about Chase Elliott now. I still wouldn't put him over Kyle Larson and William Byron, even though he finished in front of those guys. William Byron is still the top representative of that team. Kyle Larson's now moving into that third position because he was not able to get that many stage points as we thought he did. I thought he was going to be a contender for the victory running up front, but that really wasn't the case. So kind of a head scratcher there. William Byron more ran like the way that I thought Kyle Larson was going to run. So Hendrick Motorsports is still right there in that mix as well. The only one struggling with them is Alex Bowman, which you can kind of understand why. You know, he had that injury and he's trying to get back into it. At the same time, you can say the same thing about Chase Elliott, but you know, it's really rare to have all 4 cars at running with each other near the front. It's very rare. Yes, they were able to do the 1-4 in the Dover race back in 2021, but that was like the first time that ever happened for a 4-car team. It was crazy. So again, Joe Gibbs Racing, don't have to worry about them. Hendrick Motorsports, you don't really got to worry about them. Some other drivers that you don't have to worry about is Christopher Bell, if you want someone who's consistently getting top 10s. Kyle Busch with a really good run here, even though he had a lot of bad luck throughout this race with speeding penalties, getting involved in an incident, one of the only incidents in the race that involved multi-cars. He was still able to finish 9th. Very, very crazy race for him. But hey, he was able to get up there to the front. And I think this is similar to what we saw with William Byron a few weeks back. And I do believe it was Kansas. Was it Kansas where everything fell apart for him at the beginning of the race and he bounced back? Could be wrong on that. Fact check that one. But Kyle Busch, speeding penalties. Like I said, he gets involved in that caution. They're still able to crawl back. They lead a few laps. They're able to get stage points. They're able to get a top 10. That is something you really need to look at when you're thinking of championship contenders. Now, everyone already thinks that Kyle Busch is a good championship contender, but this right here, that they can bounce back from adversity, that is super important when considering who you want that championship for. Kyle Busch, just a phenomenal run here. RCR keeps proving time and time again that him being that number 8 car was the absolute right decision for him in his career. And you can see that these guys are working really well with each other, because I know a lot of drivers that if something bad happens and they're not clicking with their team, it just falls apart. And Kyle Busch has fallen apart with the number 18 team plenty of times. Hell, even last year you could see him falling apart. But for him to bounce back here, that's definitely something to really consider moving on forward. So good job for that number 8 team. And A.J. Allmendinger just had himself an overall good weekend, scored stage points. He was definitely that surprise pick that missed. For him to be able to finish 10th in this race and score 31 points, that was a really good run for that number 16 team. Actually puts him back into the mix to try to make it into the playoffs. He's still quite a few points behind. I'll pull that up in a second to let you guys know the exact point differential for all those drivers. But he's right back in there in that mix. We keep saying that Colic Racing has been struggling. They've been struggling, which to a sense, it's true. But the way how A.J. Allmendinger has been super consistent, he is now slowly but surely putting his head back in the game to be a potential contender. And there is a chance he could still get a win at one of the road courses. He's still been showing some really good speed there. It's when I start seeing speed at these types of tracks that also gets me excited about him as well. So right now, he currently sits less than 30 points behind the cut line, which is just less than a race. So that's plenty of opportunity for him to bounce back, especially at the racetracks we're coming up to. So A.J. Allmendinger is trying to get some momentum here during the summer stretch, and that's something that 16 team absolutely needs. Let's look at some of our other picks that maybe did not fare out too well for us. First one being the number 4, Kevin Harvick. Stewart Haas Racing just struggles once again, and gosh, I was hoping that him and Ryan Preece were going to put on some good performances, but it just did not happen. Yeah, Kevin Harvick was able to get stage points. This just shows one of two things. Either Kevin Harvick is really, really good and Stewart Haas Racing is nowhere near as good as what we thought they were, or they're just really struggling that bad. And it could be just a mixture of both. Because, I mean, look at these cars. 16th place finish, 24th, 25th, 31st. What is going on with Stewart Haas Racing? They, ever since 2020 happened, they have just went off the deep end. They've just struggled tremendously. And I almost want to say this might be one of the worst years because, you know, Ryan Preece, he's trying to build back that 41 team. Cole Custer was in there, absolutely struggled. Ryan Preece, he's also struggling as well. Make no mistake about it. Eric Almirola, he used to be more of a top 10 driver, and now he's having a hard time finishing in the top 20. Chase Briscoe has been all over the place. At the end of the year, he was starting to show some consistency. We were hoping that would bleed into 2023. Not at all. Not at all. He looks worse than what he did last year. And I don't know. I really don't know what's going on. And now you're going to have a new driver, Josh Berry, driving the number 4 car. But if Kevin Harvick's the only one that shows any speed and he's leaving, I'm very concerned for Stewart Haas Racing. Extremely concerned. Because we know Kevin Harvick is a top-tier veteran. So he's going to make the most that he can out of equipment. Josh Berry, very talented driver. I don't know if you can put him at the same level as Kevin Harvick. You can't. You absolutely cannot. So I'm hoping that maybe this was just a bad race for them, but they can move forward. But it's been like that all of 2023. I don't know what to really think about these guys anymore. And Kevin Harvick, I've been using him as the top four for quite a bit now. I think it's time to kind of let go of that because Stewart Haas Racing is just struggling way too bad. Down here in the pretty good category, we got the number 22 of Joey Logano. Joey Logano, once again, it looks like he's back into form that what we saw in April and May. Just not really showing that much speed right now. Been running around in like the 15th to 20th position. Don't really like that too much. He's definitely the biggest wild card when it comes to drivers. So that's a bit of a concern. And Ricky Stenhouse Jr., I expected way more out of him. We thought he was going to be running around inside the top 10. He showed the results in the past. He's been showing the results recently. Just did not pan out the same way as we expected here in this race. He had some very exciting battles going on during the race, but unfortunately, it didn't really lead to him having a phenomenal result. I mean, finishing 22nd, one lap down, not something to be super proud of. So it is what it is there. I still don't want to give up on Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He is still a fun person to rely on, especially when you are trying to save some other drivers. If he is able to bounce back again and finish inside the top 10, I think Atlanta could be a really good run for him. I really do. So still keep Ricky Stenhouse in the back of your mind. It was just a really bad weekend for him for sure. Our gamble picks were mostly shut out this weekend. I hate to say that. Daniel Suarez, he did all right. He finished in the 12th position, 25 points. Maybe we were expecting him to be right up there with Ross Chastain. The only problem was he was running a backup car. That's obviously going to affect you here in this race. So that was a bit of a bummer. But he was still able to crawl back and finish 12th. So at the very least, he was still able to be a reliable source if one of these guys did not pan out for you. Michael McDowell, the number 34, nowhere to be seen. Easy come, easy go, as I would say for him. Ryan Preece, we just talked about Stuart Haas Racing and their struggle. Austin Dillon with a 13th place finish. Not bad. Steps in the right direction. Not great either, but still not bad. Yet definitely a good little garage pick. And then Corey LaJoie was able to finish in the 20th position. At one point, I thought he was running around in the top 15, so I got very excited. But it just did not pan out for him that well. What are some things to be happy about with this race going on forward? One, first off, is NBC Sports is now back, and it just felt like a really good experience once again. You felt the excitement in the commentary crew. It was just overall a better experience, so I'm really excited to see what they do for the next for the rest of the year. I almost said next few races, excuse me on that. But they already off the get-go. It feels like a more comfortable experience for a NASCAR fan. So that is something to be excited about. Another thing to look forward to is still, even though this was a long green flag running race, there wasn't that many cautions at all, you still had multiple drivers who had an opportunity to win this race. And you had opportunity for drivers to bounce back. I mean, we were talking about Kyle Busch with his incident. He was still able to bounce back, as well as Alex Bowman, who got caught up in an incident, which we will talk about that here in a second. But multiple people had a shot to win this race, so it wasn't a prediction, or it wasn't a slam dunk on who you thought was going to win the race at the very beginning. You couldn't point at a driver and say with certainty, oh yeah, he's going to win the race. And that's something I can always appreciate about this next gen car at intermediate tracks. It's still showing that. It's not showing something like we saw at Las Vegas, which a lot of people were worried about. Believe me, I was. But here in this race, you had multiple drivers with an opportunity to win, and I really can't ask for much else. And the restarts too, I remember for like 5 or 6 laps straight, you had Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex Jr. duking it out side by side. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. And just good, clean racing like that. If we can find a way to keep those cars more side by side like that, which they're starting to do it a lot more often. I mean, I'm always going to be excited to watch races because, man, that is the best style of racing. And if we would have saw that there near the end, if there was a green flag or a green-white checkered, excuse me, and they were running side by side, there wouldn't have been anyone sitting down either at the racetrack or at home. They would have all been standing up. So good racing product, good production. The one thing that is going to be a down from this race is the incident that we're talking about involving Ryan Blaney. Unfortunately, Ryan Blaney finished 36th in this race. What happened to him? Well, on a restart, there were some cars that stayed out, and the one who struggled the most on the restart was the number 6 of Brad Keselowski. It looked like he missed the gear. It like just tremendously bad. And a lot of people got bundled up there on the bottom, which caused multiple cars to spin out. And those multiple cars were Alex Bowman, who made contact with Kyle Busch, Kyle Busch, who made contact with Ryan Blaney, and Kyle Busch and Ryan Blaney get sideways. Kyle Busch doesn't hit anything. Good. Ryan Blaney tries to correct it and goes straight into the inside wall, one of the only parts of the racetrack that does not have safer barrier, which brings up the conversation again of why don't we have safer barrier around the racetrack? Well, that's a spot that no one really thought of. Let's be honest here. You don't really expect people to be hitting the wall right there on the exit of pit road. It just doesn't happen. Unfortunately for this case, it did. And definitely what NASCAR is starting to learn is it doesn't matter if you never see a car over there. If there's not safer barrier there, there is always a chance that a car will hit that wall. It happened with Jeff Gordon multiple times. Like I said, here with Ryan Blaney. I know Denny Hamlin in California a few years back. That happened to him. It broke his back. I mean, this safer barrier is definitely to the point where it needs to be all around the racetrack. I know it's super expensive. I understand that. But I'd rather see them rise tickets up slightly to add safer barriers all around than watch a casualty out on the racetrack. And I think everyone can agree with that. Or a career ending. I mean, what a damn shame that we lost Kurt Busch due to an injury. That's one of the saddest things ever. They've been able to fix that. Well, Ryan Blaney, he was hurting after that wreck. Thank goodness it doesn't look like he's going to have to sit out or anything. I don't think he's going to have a concussion, but we'll have to wait and see, because we thought the same thing with Noah Gregson. Turned out he did. We'll wait and see, but I don't ever want to see drivers get out of the car hurt like that. I really don't. So that's definitely a down on Nashville's part, but like I said, at the time, no one really thought that anyone was going to hit that. Honestly, it's just one of those spots that no one thinks about, but they will definitely bring up the conversation of safer barriers being around the entire racetrack on both the inside wall and the outside wall. I don't have too much complaints about this race at all. Some races do need cautions and some races don't. This is one of those races that did not need a caution. I think the only one who was begging for a caution was Tyler Reddick, because he lost a tire after the exit of pit road, which is more than likely going to lead to a suspension for one of the team members. But there's a kind of a kooky rule that happened there. They said the tire came off on pit road. It technically did, but at the same time, it didn't. Like, did anyone else notice that? The tire came off out of the exit of turn four, but it didn't fully come off until it came to rest right next to pit road. If that wall was not there, that tire would have came right back out on the racetrack. So what? Does that mean if a tire is lost on the front straightaway at Talladega, it smacks the fence and goes flying towards pit road, it will be considered a tire lost on pit road? Maybe I'm really overthinking this. Maybe I'm just complaining about it, but I don't know. I felt like that was as clear-cut as day, a two-lap penalty for a loose tire. I really did, but apparently NASCAR did not see that, so it could be one of those things in the rule books that teams will have to really consider here moving on forward, especially if they need a caution. I don't know. I really don't know, but that was pretty interesting to me. That's all I'll say on that. Memorability-wise, I don't think it's going to become one of the most memorable races, but it is going to be one of those races that we were thankful that it was a really decent event, that it wasn't too much chaoticness, and I can appreciate that for a race from time to time. It's going to be on the top half of events for sure, but overall, the biggest takeaway out of all of it, don't ever count out Ross Chastain. Yes, he's been struggling the last few weeks, but at the same time, most of it was not his fault. When he gets an opportunity, when he has finally said, give it 100%, he will give you 100%, and he will run up front. And we saw that here this weekend at Nashville Super Speedway. That will conclude the final results for today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. As far as our fantasy league went, I was really excited to share this because holy crap, guys. Incredible work by a bunch of you guys. We had so many people score 200 plus points. 32 out of the 74-man league was able to score 200 plus points. Not only that, some of the highest scores that I have ever seen. Let's go through the top three as always. Unfortunately, I'm not one of them. I thought I got top three because I had the top five on my fantasy roster. I was like, yeah, finally, I get to represent myself. And I finished fifth. I'm like, damn it. Really? You guys killed it that well? Hell yeah, good job for you guys. In the third position, we have Mechanical Manny, 33, scoring 271 points. But the winners who scored the maximum amount of points, I'm almost certain that they did, was Fast in Turn and Chief Joe Coog, both scoring 286 points. Never seen that many points in my life. Big congrats to you guys. You guys absolutely killed it. Phenomenal job. You definitely deserve that shout out here this weekend because you guys had yourselves the perfect fantasy roster. You guys had the featured matchups correct. Just well done. I think if I would have changed Kyle Larson out for William Byron, I would have been in that mix. And if I wouldn't have screwed up the pick'em, I think I picked Joey Logano over Christopher Bell. That was a big mistake on my part. I would have been up there in that mix, but it is what it is. I really can't complain about it. I'll take a fifth place finish after points like that from Chief Joe Coog, Fast in Turn, and Mechanical Manny 33. my gosh, just a phenomenal performance by all of you. So good job. If you want to follow me on social media, look me up on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. On Instagram, you can look me up at VanillaWafers33. This has all the TikTok videos as well as some extra photos that I like to post to you guys. We're already at 50 followers, getting some traction there. So thank you guys so much for getting that such a fast boost this early. I know those are small numbers compared to what we see on the other channels, but still, I've never seen anything grow that fast on any of my other channels, so I'm really happy about that. TikTok is all the NASCAR trivia. NASCAR therapy might be going away here soon. I don't know. Unless you guys start messaging me like, no, don't change it, don't do it. But I feel like it's been losing a lot of traction, and it's just been very uncomfortable just doing those ever since the whole Cody Ware thing. But besides that, I do have a lot of NASCAR therapy, NASCAR trivia on there. So if you want to put your NASCAR skills to the test, go check out that channel at VanillaWafers44 on TikTok. Talk to me during race day on Twitter at VanillaWafers44 as well. And then videos will be posted here soon on YouTube, including talking about the safety walls in NASCAR and what led them to this point. I think that will be a really fun video. Not many people, if anyone, has ever done a video like that, so I'm very excited to share that one with you guys when it gets posted. But let's wrap up the episode there, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I have been able to take you to the front of the field. So why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnouts, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.